Hello and welcome to another broadcast that we call Plain and Simple. We're going to talk about a good man with a bad friend. 1 Kings chapter 22, if you have your Bible ready there, the good man was Jehoshaphat, the bad one was Ahab. We'll see how that turns out. Be sure and stay tuned for our broadcast. 1 Kings chapter 22, be ready at verse number 10. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 10, we read, "And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them." Now there they are. They're having a national meeting and pretending that God's involved. They got a bunch of false prophets there, and the Bible very plainly says they are in a void place. We got two compromisers in a national meeting. Jehoshaphat is in blatant disobedience to God. He should not be sitting there with Ahab. He should be sitting with Micaiah in a prison somewhere, if the case may be, but he should be standing at or sitting with the man of God. But they sat together in a void. And so here we have a description of what these two leaders of God's people were doing in that day, and much of this is going on in our day under the banner of fundamentalism. Well, in verse 11, we read, "And Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until they have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." Now here we have Zedekiah. No doubt he is the keynote speaker in their national meeting. Shemaiah's misfit son, his name is Zedekiah. He turned out to be a leader of the enemies of God. Zedekiah had the gall to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And there's many false prophets who are claiming to be speaking in the name of the Lord today. Verse 13, it says, "And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let the word, I pray thee, be like the word of them that speak that which is good." Never mind whether it's true or not, we're just going to call it good. He sounds like many of God's messengers today. Accuse the faithful leaders of God causing division. That's what you do. Just don't cause division. Well, how did Micaiah answer? And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, but the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." When I was 14 years old, I was asked to bring the Sunday evening message in a church of about 200 people that our family attended. I preached the message on the premillennial return of Christ. I had no idea that the church I was in was all millennial. Well, sometime later they asked me to preach again. However, this time I was told by a deacon to preach a more general message and not to be preaching something controversial like the return of Christ. I said he needed to find someone else, and I told him only God would tell me what to preach. Well, I had that figured out when I was 14. Anyway, in verse number 15 here we read, "So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver thee in the hand of the king." Now what he's doing is he's mocking him. If you look back at verse 6, you'll see that. "And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but what is true in the name of the Lord?" Well, verse 17, and he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" Yeah, you just want to hear what you want to hear, and if you don't hear what you want to hear, then obviously it's evil. Well, verse 19, he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on the right hand and on the left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit that stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also, go forth, and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Well, how'd that turn out? Well, verse 24, but Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Well, in verse 25, we read, and Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amnon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with the bread of affliction, and with the water of affliction, until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Well, in verse 29, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself, that's Ahab, and went into battle. Well, Ahab was no friend. Jehoshaphat had become so dull of mind that he did not realize that Ahab was setting him up as a target. That is what happens when compromisers sell the truth. It says in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now notice, there are three things that are very obvious in this verse. Number one, the loss of wisdom. When God's leaders sell the truth, as did Jehoshaphat, they also cease to have wisdom that was once available to them from the Lord. Ecclesiastes 10:3 says, yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth. He lost wisdom. Second, he lost instruction. Only those who remain true to the word of God can expect instruction from God. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Not only that, he lost wisdom, he lost instruction, and he lost understanding. Only those who remain true to the word of God can expect the gift of understanding from God. It says in Psalm 111, verse 10, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. James chapter 1 and verse 6 talks about wavering in our faith, and verse 7 goes on to say, let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. When God's leaders begin to sell the truth rather than tell the truth, when God's leaders begin to compromise, they lack wisdom, they lack instruction, and they lack understanding. And this explains why so many good men are going astray today. Once you start to compromise, you cannot have wisdom, instruction, or understanding from God. Well, in verse 31, the attention turns to the king of Syria. It says, but the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. It says they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Verse 34 says, a certain man drew a bow at a venture, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of the chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. So Ahab outsmarted Jehoshaphat. However, he did not outsmart God. It did not take some great warrior to bring down Ahab. God used a certain man who simply shot an arrow at a venture. The dictionary says to do something at a venture is trusting to chance rather than consideration or preparation. It may have been at a venture as far as that certain man was concerned. It was at Ahab as far as God was concerned, not at a venture. Psalm 64:7 says, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow, surely shall they be wounded. Well, we read in verse number 35, and the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. Well, we see the majority, the 400 false prophets, were wrong. God's one faithful prophet, Micaiah, was right. In verse 28, we read, and Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." Verse 36 says, "And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city, and every man to his own country." So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Verse 38 says, "And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake." It is interesting that the pool of Samaria is the very place where Naboth was stoned, 1 Kings 21 and 19. Barnes notes on this verse says, "The pool of Samaria, which was stained with Ahab's blood by the washing of his chariot in it, was, according to Josephus, the usual bathing place of Samaritan harlots." Well, we come down to verse 40 and we see, "So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his stead." 41 says, "Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel." Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azbah, the daughter of Shihai. And he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Nevertheless, too bad, we have to add that word. Nevertheless, the high place was not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now here we have another problem of Jehoshaphat having fellowship with someone he should not have fellowship with, because Ahaziah, the king of Israel, Ahab's son, did evil in the sight of the Lord. How does it end? Verse 50, "And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried." Verse 51, Ahaziah, what's it say? 52, "He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father and in the ways of his mother." 53 says, "He served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord." So as the chapter ends, we find Ahab is dead. Jehoshaphat, learning nothing from all of this, verse 44 tells us that Jehoshaphat fellowshiped with Ahab's wicked son, Ahaziah. We read, "And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel." And the story concludes telling us Jehoshaphat was buried. And so we have a good man, Jehoshaphat, with a bad friend named Ahab. He wasted his God-given opportunities. He ended his life among those who had provoked to anger the Lord God, verse 53. What a sad ending of the life for a man who started out with God's commendation in 1 Kings 22:43. It says Jehoshaphat did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. However, he got astray. Why? He was a good man with a bad friend. These things are written for our admonition. Let us be admonished. Be careful. We always become like who we run with. Well, there it is, plain and simple. Tune in for our broadcast again tomorrow.